guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady drops back under rush on the blind side. Ball is stripped by Tamba Ali. That's his specialty. And he recovers at the 9. Strip sack Kansas City.
Nate Solder, left tackle. Tamba Ali again. Not only does Nate Solder has his left foot about a yard back, he steps back with the left foot and still gets beat. I mean, Brady's got no chance.
I went with everybody's favorite punching bag, Nate Solder, once again. Like, you know, gave up a sack, had a holding penalty. Solder was bad in this game again. Again, he was my number one dud.
Play fake to blood. Quick throw to a tackle. Eligible Solder across the 5. Nate barreling over a defender. Diving to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
How about that? Don't throw it to anybody. Let's go to the old trick book. Play action fake. You don't want to cover number 77. We'll throw it to him. How about Nate Solder having a nose for the goal line and punching it in? Statement drive.
Now, Nate Solder, I think that he also felt like he was worth more in the open market. Giants paid him the richest contract for an offensive lineman in history.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. No Felger, no Maz once again. So Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair with Mike Flynn. So as you know, big news yesterday. Nate Solder gone. Nate Solder goes to the New York Giants on a 4-year deal worth $62 million. He gets $35 million guaranteed. Flynn, I thought that Nate Solder's return was the second most important piece of business internally for the Patriots this offseason, with number one being get Rob Gronkowski back in the fold. Neither of those things have happened. Again, Nate Solder now a member of the New York Giants. Yesterday, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, sat here with Chris Gasper and myself. He watches all that, the All-22 tape. He always breaking
all
down.
All-22 guy,
he
yeah.
Loves all that stuff. Always, you know, grading the offensive linemen throughout the season. Said it wasn't as big a loss as people may think, Nate Solder. And it was a down year for him. You're a former offensive lineman. You won a championship with the Ravens in 2000. How big of a loss is this? Nate Solder, no longer the left tackle, protecting Brady's blindside in 2018.
Well, he certainly isn't. Would he get the highest paid lineman of all time? I mean, he's not that type of player. There's no doubt about it. You know, at the time, the top end was, what, $13 million or something for tackles? Circumstances and opportunity, you know, when you become a free agent.
The market dictates the value.
Yeah. Now, that's a little over the top. I mean, certainly the Patriots wouldn't pay that, but I don't know if it ever would have got there. But here's, you lose a guy that has a high volume of plays, right? He goes out there and plays 16 games. You could rely on him, and you don't have the, you know, the guy in waiting, the next tackle to go up there. They don't really have a left tackle. So, you know, that's the biggest concern is where do you go from here? You don't have the depth. Like, you lose Malcolm Butler. I mean, that was probably preordained weeks and weeks and weeks ago during, you know, earlier in the season. I think Bill knew that. But you could piece guys together. Well, this guy can play and this guy's coming back. But in the offensive line, like, you have a lot of question marks and unknowns. You know, you have a couple other guys like Fleming and what else that are
like Waddle.
Waddle that are free agents that kind of played right tackle. Can they play on the left side? And you have to give them money that you wouldn't give them if you didn't, you know, if you're not going to give Solder the extra couple million a year now, are you paying these guys $3 or $4 million so you don't lose them? So how's that, the money you're saving, is it going to them? So I don't think they really have, well, maybe they had it last year. I mean, they you know, drafted a kid and he was, no, what did he have, like blood clots or
blood
something?
Blood clots
like
in his lungs, yeah.
Which, listen, you can't predict that. I don't, but they gambled that this guy could be the guy of the future, and it didn't work out that way. Didn't get a chance to play, and they had an undrafted kid that they kept on the roster, but they don't have a backup plan. So I think it's a loss. I mean, you have a guy that just plays. I mean, to solidify that line, because the rest of that unit is pretty solid. You know, they got pretty good on the interior. They have a tackle that's athletic, and you don't really have the backup plan. Is he worth the top dollar for all offensive linemen? No, but something tells me they could have gotten under that price if they came to him. And, you know, I don't know. My guess would be Solder said, you know what, we're going to test free agency at this point if it was nowhere near like the $13 million mark, which probably would make sense.
Well, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, sat here yesterday and said a source told him that the Patriots offered $12 million per.
Okay.
Which,
well, that makes sense. And if you're going to be a free agent anyway or get close to the year, well, I want what the average tackle gets. What's the top? I'm going to be a free agent. Like, that's where they should have started,
but
in my opinion.
But if he was comfortable here, and he enjoyed, you know, look, that would be a discount compared to what the New York Giants gave him. But 12, it's a good number. if they offered that, I have to think, this is just me, you know, maybe reading a bit too much into what's going on behind the scenes there, because I think all of that's real between Brady and Belichick, and, you know, that there's some drama going on there. Maybe it's, you've seen this exodus because some of these players like Nate Solder, like Danny Amendola, are just, you know, it's not so much the money, it's also, this feels like the end here. Like, we've
like it's not as much fun.
We've won the titles, like, I'm out. It's time for me to get a bigger payday, and you know what, the end is closer than people
well, you
think.
Would think, right? I mean, just with his son, and not that obviously in New York there's going to be good hospitals and doctors, but to take your son out of this routine that he has, it's hard to do. And I think that's, you could, you know, it's tangible. Like, you could put a money value on that. Like, you know what? Yeah, I can get, now, $15 million is pretty high, but whatever it would be compared to if it's $1 million or something, like, having to meet new doctors, meet new people, like, it's not worth it. So you would think of all the guys that left, like, he'd be the last guy on that list that would leave strictly because of money.
Right. But, which leads me to believe that this is also the other thing factoring
but
the, in.
But that's the key, though. You mentioned, here's the biggest key. You said, well, he's won. He's been there. He's been to the Super Bowls. You know, he's won a couple of them. Like, the grind, and not that he won't work hard, and not, trust me, the Giants have a history of I mean, they'll figure something out. Like, not, you can't win there, but maybe the grind and all the crap and all the games that they play, they're like, he's like, dude, I've already won, but now I can get, you know, 60 something million, all this guaranteed. Why are you going to hear this? And I just go to New York. Like, I believe that's part of it. You know, Amendola, who
he doesn't have to worry about a deep playoff run. He's looking at 16 games.
No, I don't think it's that he doesn't want to win or the playoff game. It's everything else that goes with it.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the it's hard to play here, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, it's, but if you're a guy that's won, you're later in your career, and it's, you know, family, and you want a different change of scenery.
You don't
maybe
want to be as big of a grind.
Yes,
so that serious.
Could, I mean, that could be a possibility, because I don't think I can't imagine that this Brady Belichick, like, bumping heads would affect an offensive lineman. Because being in an offensive lineman seat, it's kind of like you just keep your head down and do your job. You know, like, I can't imagine that would trickle down to Solder and that unit. They may know about it, but you're really not going to get the ill effects. I don't think you're going to get that kind of tension because it's a totally different room. And you don't traffic in, like, skill level bullcrap, like the receivers and the running backs and the defensive guys, like, all the defensive backs. You're not involved in that kind of stuff. You're pretty isolated in that room. But it could be that, in terms of, you're right, tired of, like, you know what, other guys are leaving, everybody's kind of tired of the bull crap. You know, I don't feel like doing this. Like, I'm going to go get paid.
All right. I want to get your thoughts on some of the other moves here that have happened with this team, with Deion Lewis leaving, Malcolm Butler leaving. He spoke with Jeff Howe. I thought it was kind of interesting. He takes the high road and talking about him being benched for Super Bowl 52. We'll touch on all of that and the rest of the NFL offseason so far with Mike Flynn here on Felger and Mazz. It's 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blend force trauma to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seattle huddling up. Down 4, but on the verge of the lead. Wilson extends the hands he has. Pass. Wilson, quick throw. And it's
good.
Intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the 1. Malcolm Butler stepped in front of the throw.
No way.
And the Patriots have possession with 20 seconds to go in Super Bowl 49 with a 4-point lead over the Seahawks.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history.
It's called Halo.
Line up, power, block it, touchdown. He probably would go in backwards.
The pass is a great idea to throw the ball to get your touchdown against those guys, unless it doesn't happen.
Patriots didn't ask for a 32nd pick. They asked for 42 and another pick.
Malcolm Butler just runs right by on the outside, and of course, it is Malcolm Butler who thought he was going to be playing for the New Orleans Saints this year. Stephon Gilmore got paid all the money coming over from Buffalo, and Malcolm Butler will tell you straight up that it shook his confidence a little bit. He thought he was going to be the guy to get paid. Then he thought he was going to be the guy to get traded to New Orleans. None of those things happen, and here he is, the number one corner in this game.
And it's weighed on him a little bit because he's had an up-and-down year.
I'm getting tired of it, and I bet you Bill's getting tired of him reacting to plays that he's giving up and turning around and complaining and putting it on his teammates. He's in a contract year, and he's like, Now he wants it on film that every time he gave up a pass. No, it's that guy's fault. Wasn't my fault.
Love it.
What's really interesting here, Malcolm Butler, hero 3 years ago in the Super Bowl, has not played a defensive snap tonight. The Patriots are telling us a coach's decision.
I don't know. They gave up on him. Yeah. The coach's decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me the opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good, or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
I feel that way. What happens now, Malcolm? Unrestricted free agent?
I ain't Miss Cleo, so I can't tell the future.
Another New England Patriot going over to the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, there are a lot of people who thought that Malcolm Butler would have to sign a one-year deal after the Super Bowl fiasco. But no, he's going to end up with a five-year deal worth more than $60 million. He gets more than $30 million guaranteed.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 of Sports. Great montage there put together by executive producer Jimmy Stewart. Malcolm Butler, he is gone, and now he's spoken about his benching in Super Bowl 52. It's Big Jim Murray and Mike Flynn in for the guys today. So he signs a five-year, $61 million deal with the Tennessee Titans, getting top cornerback money, Flynn, and good for him. And you were just saying, too, in my ear, Tennessee, Nashville, rather. Nashville, great town. Fun.
Well, who was that? Somebody said that, I don't know if that was Schefter, somebody reported about, he thought he was going to get a one-year deal. Like, I never thought he'd get a one-year deal. Did you?
No.
Like a show me deal?
No.
Because of what happened at the Super Bowl?
No, it was a down year for him overall.
Yeah, but for that one game, like, that's going to be something that
would
hold him back. I didn't think that. Maybe he didn't get as much as he thought he was going to get, but not a one-year deal, like. Now, we don't trust you because Bill didn't play you in the Super Bowl, which was good because that would have been disappointing.
Well, he's finally spoken up about his benching in that game. Talked to Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald. This posted last night. You probably read it or heard it by now, but if you haven't, he tells Howe, quote, "I never got a reason. I feel like this was the reason. I got kind of sick. I went to the hospital. They probably thought I was kind of late on the game plan. I wasn't as locked in as I should be, and it could have been a matchup deal. It could have been anything. But Bill Belichick has been doing this for a very long time. He took a veteran out of Super Bowl 49 against the Seahawks. That, of course, is Kyle Arrington, who was getting torched by Chris Matthews in that game. Put in a first-year rookie, talking about himself. And that turned out right, so you could never question his decision. It didn't work out right against the Eagles. It didn't work out the best for me or him or the New England Patriots. But I can say he won more than he lost, so it is what it is. I always have love for New England, Bill Belichick, Mr. Kraft. All those guys, life just goes on. So he takes the high road.
That's the highest high road.
High.
I mean,
it's
pretty
easy to be when you're sitting on how many millions of dollars?
Well, that's what I would say. My first reaction would be, okay, say his reputation got so scarred that he had to sign, like, Malcolm, I'm doing everything I can for you. Max, we can get you one year, $8 million. I believe that answer would be different. I believe that he would just be fired in his zone. But with that said, it's like, dude, you kind of won. I mean, you're going to a good town. You're making top dollar. Like, I'm not saying you rip the guy apart. I mean, you don't shred the guy. He gave you an opportunity, but you just tell the truth. I mean, think about this, okay? And for all the, you know, what do we know? But at the end of the day, like, all the whenever he posted anything about Malcolm from Brady and his teammates, they love the guy and how he works so hard. So he's well-liked. He works his ass off. Listen, I get it. Production comes up and down. And I would be a little concerned that, and I said this when he was struggling, or like, dude, I'm thinking this contract, because it does mess with you. It does. In the back of your mind, when you make a mistake, you either think about, oh, how does this affect me? Or I think, was that Bedard screaming like a madman about Malcolm Butler looking at his teammates?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, he was fired up.
That was back in December, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then you start looking for excuses, okay, when you're playing for a contract. But think about this, though. It's like you play this whole season. It's the freaking Super Bowl, right? And you just get yanked out. Then you watch your team get slaughtered, just picked apart like ducks on a pond. And you don't get in there? I got to tell you, I would be pissed.
Well, he cried for a reason.
You know? I mean, like, to bring it to a grown man to tears in front of millions. I mean, millions. Now, I get it. When you're out there, even though all these people, you're in this little bubble, but the guy was in tears. And then they ask, and like, the high road. And I think it's because he got paid, but I'd just be like, listen, this is what I would say. Like,
he has everything right you do, but I don't get it. I bust my ass. Yeah, I've done this and that, like, and I don't play? Hell yeah, it hurts. It's hard for me to forgive him for that.
I'm torn here because the adult in me, now that I've reached, you know, the 40 plateau, Flynn, the adult in me, I saw this. I was like, yeah, good for him. He got his money. He's taking the high road. That's the good thing to do.
I'm not saying you kill him, though. You speak honestly.
The a-hole.
That's a lie.
The a-hole and the Patriot superfan in me was like, oh, come on, light him up. Tell us how you really feel because you know you...
Do you have to be an a-hole to tell the truth? If he just told the truth?
No, but a lot of people perceive it that way.
Not here. I think he gets a big... I've never seen... Like, honestly, I don't believe it. Like, I've never seen backlash to Bill about the Malcolm Butler situation. I don't think he'll ever be forgiven for that. That one incident. Now, it'll be water under the bridge issue because he's a great coach. I mean, and Butler's right. He's, you know, he's right way more than he's wrong. But that one stung because it still doesn't make any sense.
So,
and to see what happens. So if he was just telling the truth, people would think he's an a-hole. I'm not saying you get personally, just like, I don't get it. I mean, it's the biggest game of my life.
Oh, I still think he doesn't
like,
get it.
Like, I go, how do you do? Like, yeah, I'm pissed. Like, that, yeah, you saw me crying. That was raw emotion. Like, not like, well, you know, hey, man, he's right more than he's off, and he got me in there because he benched the guy. Well, because Kyle Harrington stunk in that game, so you had to put somebody else. You didn't even play.
Yeah, I still think there's humility in the kid, which I appreciate, and was one of the things I always liked about him is, look, he got his chance in that game, the biggest stage. He obviously locks it down, maybe the biggest play in Super Bowl history. And, you know, there is a debt of gratitude there for Bill Belichick. Now, I asked this question yesterday, and for the both of you, I'll ask it again. You see what that money is. It's top corner money, $30 million in guarantees. Who coaches the Tennessee Titans? A former Patriot disciple and Belichick disciple and Mike Vrabel. Who's the GM there? John Robinson, another Belichick disciple. If you believe what Mike Giardi of NBC Sports Boston was reporting earlier in the week, the Detroit Lions had some interest in signing Malcolm Butler. He was Matt Patricia, the former defensive coordinator here, of course, who said afterwards, oh, it had to do with a game plan. That's why he didn't get in. With all of that interest from Patriot disciples and the money he got, isn't it more of an indictment on Bill Belichick that he got it wrong not playing in that Super Bowl?
Absolutely. Well, I would think, I mean, Patricia doesn't need to talk to Bill because he was there. He knows what happened. But Vrabel or Robinson, do you think they called Bill and just said, listen, I don't care what you think of him as a player, but is there more going on there?
I'm sure that they did.
So for them to give them, wouldn't you have to? If they didn't, and I was the owner of that organization, I'd be like, well, what the hell do we have you here for? You're investing $61 million of money. You don't call the old coach that you're very friendly with. So I'm going to assume, I don't know, that they did that. Do you think Bill signed off? If Bill said, no, this guy was a real piece of trash, he did this.
Yeah, if he wanted to MF him, he really would have.
No, but you could tell him. But you're right. I don't think he would do that. That's not good business. But he told the truth. I bet you he told him the truth. And obviously, it wasn't a big deal for them not to invest in, is my point. That's a lot of money. That's top dollar. I mean, that's a big part of your cap and where you got to go moving forward, where you spend it. So whatever Bill told them, and just keep the, you know, they could watch the tape. They don't need Bill for that. But
if it was a real problem, they would not have made that investment.
And the other thing is,
it definitely looks worse than Bill because it's even more of a question like, how did he play?
Take a guy like Mike Vrabel. He doesn't have to call Bill Belichick. He knows, what, everyone in that locker room?
Tons of people in that locker room. He probably knows
whatever the real story is. And coming out of the Super Bowl, those of us who didn't know then and still don't know now what the reason, but there were lots of theories. And one of the leading ones, the one that I went with, was he must have done something truly unforgivable. Hit somebody, done something like that, that was so requiring of punishment that you had no choice but to do that. I don't think that can be the case anymore, because if he had done something so terrifically unforgivable that it absolutely mandated that he be benched for the entirety of the Super Bowl, then I don't think all of these people who would know the real story would be going out handing him a bunch of cash.
Well, no, the consensus was a bunch of things that kind of came together. I don't understand what that means. If there's ever an answer, like, well, was it certain we'd not play? Well, that's all these factors that kind of came together. Oh, it came together the night before the Super Bowl? And then it didn't figure itself out at the beginning of the second half when you're getting torched.
I mean, it came together moments before the Super Bowl based on on his reaction on the field, right? I mean, whatever it was, it happened pretty quickly.
Like, if he signs with San Francisco or, you know, name another team that had...
The Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys.
No links.
No links at all to New England. I think you could spit it as like, oh, they're stupid, they're overpaid, or no, here they go. Now they're going to get their head case.
There's direct Patriots links with the Tennessee Titans.
And I believe that Patricia, why wouldn't Patricia have some interest in him? Because remember when they asked him after, it wasn't just like, hey, listen, we got packages, he wasn't involved. It was just kind of like, well, you know, he didn't want to answer. He didn't believe what he was saying. And I don't think, and he didn't believe it because he knew it was a fault, but he didn't believe that, like, he should have not played. Like, you get the feeling like, no, I know, we screwed up.
Yeah, the boss.
Did you watch the game?
The boss screwed it up, and he really did. And, you know, the one disappointing thing with the Malcolm Butler comments to Jeff Howe is that it's further proof to me we're never going to get the answer to this, and we'll have to speculate until the end of time, and it's just going to make me mad until my dying day.
Don't you think he doesn't know? Butler doesn't know why.
Oh, no, Butler doesn't know, but, which by extension means we'll never know, because you know you're not going to get anything. It's blood from a stone. You ain't getting anything from Belichick. You think, of course, he's going to be peppered with those questions.
Well, at some point when he writes his book, right?
Yeah,
he
good
has
luck.
To, he has to tell the truth.
Oh, man. It's frustrating weeks later. And,
I mean, we basically need to wait for Matt Patricia to retire from the NFL before we'll find out what really happened.
Yeah, so in other words, I don't think we ever will. So, all right, thoughts on Malcolm Butler, his comments to Jeff Howe. You want to weigh in on that? Have at it. 617-779-0985. Promise we'll get to your calls. See a lot of you hanging. Also, Tom Brady not playing ball with restructuring his contract. Sounds that way, according to what Greg Bedard said yesterday. If you missed that, we'll replay that sound for you right after the Hub headlines with Marshall Hook here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mazz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom still doesn't have his contract extension. Now, I've heard rumblings that is because Brady's not in a hurry to help out the team. You know, I talked about how there was supposed to be a meeting, or at least they were trying to put a meeting together around the time of the Dolphins away game. It didn't happen. You know, and now with this Facebook video, it looks like things still haven't happened. And, talking to somebody who knows what was going on with the production of this, the Giselle quote and the Tom quote at the end, there was no accident that it was set up that way.
What are we doing this for? You know? What are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You got to have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just wants, you know, he tells me, I love it so much and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
Pretty interesting quote there from Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal yesterday here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair alongside Mike Flynn today as the guys are out once again. Got Marshall Hook alongside as well. And want to hear from you, 617-779-0985, spending most of this hour on the Patriots and the offseason. So, the quote again, I've heard rumblings. Brady isn't in a rush to help the team. We're talking about his contract because Brady on the books, Flynn, for $14 million in 2018. It's a $22 million cap hit. In the past, Tom Brady has seemingly acquiesced and restructured things so he can try to help out the team and hopefully restock for the coming year. Hasn't happened. Again, I've heard rumblings, Brady not in a rush to help the team. Feels like to me, when I hear that, the issues between Brady and Belichick, they haven't been resolved behind the scenes. And you hear some of that stuff from the final episode of Tom vs. Time, which dropped earlier this week, which I know you were repulsed by.
Oh, it's gross.
What do you make of it?
You're just eating it up, just like, oh. did you watch that by yourself? Tears rolling down.
No, I didn't have tears. But
Giselle,
I did.
Oh, these last 2 years have been so tough. What? Come on.
Well, she's the mouthpiece so for Tom with that.
Well, what's been so tough?
Oh, I'm with you on that. Like,
Guerrero can't go in your locker room?
It's called work for a reason. It's work.
God, quit your whining. Does that guy have a peachier gig in the world?
I'm with you.
What could be so tough? But you're eating it up. I saw you when we were playing it. You paused for a second when you're typing in your computer. Like you're having a moment to yourself.
I'm not having a moment. No. No, I think this is where Brady's wrong. What's the big issue there? What respect? You know, was when I think about it, now that you saw, did you see how deep the cut was on the throwing hand? You know, the thumb gate before AFC Championship game. Now that I've seen it, I feel like Belichick was kind of out of line saying, all right, we're not talking about heart surgery.
Well, come on. I agree with it. If Brady didn't play,
that looked like a bad cut.
But if Brady didn't play, and then you saw the cut after, would you be like, oh, okay, that makes sense? Or would you be like, you can't play?
No, he was going to play regardless. But okay. If the play wasn't up to what we had all expected, and he's some of those balls were high early. Like, I was like, oh, my God.
You could maybe give him some slack with the production. But, I mean, he was going to play. And I think he was just Belichick is like, listen, the guy cut his hand, certainly could affect his play, but we're not talking life and death here. Now, maybe around New England, Tom's Brady's health is life and death, which it should be, I guess, when you're making a Super Bowl run. But I think that's, he gets very annoyed, then he gets very salty and snarky. I don't know if it was directed at Tom.
I mean, I look at that thing. They're showing it here on the simulcast on NBC Sports Bus. It's like when you cut open a bass when you
fish. Yeah, but if it's stitched up, right, you just, I don't know. I'm not going to, like, match who's tougher, but I mean, you inject it with a little Novocaine around there, like, you know. Well,
you're biased. You're a former pro. I'm looking at your hands. You got mangled fingers. Like,
yeah,
this is
cry me a river,
you.
Tom. I can live with these things the rest of my life.
But overall, I mean, look, I'm with you in the fact that I think Brady's going to, like, kind of, I don't know, dial back the fun, the drama
dramatics.
I need to be appreciated more. Like, you know, not everybody's boss is going to appreciate you, Tom. That's, again, it's work for a reason. It's not fun and playtime. I understand he's hit a level now where, you know, after 18 years, that maybe he wants to be respected a little bit more. But he knows what the hierarchy is with that team. It's Bill. It's Bill and everyone else underneath him. And as it is, he's had to deal with the fact that Brady's gotten bigger than the team, which, you know, drives him nuts at his core. So I don't think that that's ever going to change. But they have to have some kind of a conversation to solve this going forward, whatever time is remaining for the both of them. Because it feels like when I hear that, nothing's changed.
Well, why doesn't he, you know, I emailed you because I said, oh, I heard, and I just was Bedard. You're like, okay, because I thought I heard him say that. You know, what's the motivation, right? Like, how hard would it be to get on a conference call and, like, hey, we want to work some numbers? He doesn't really need to talk that much. He could just let his agent do a lot of that. Like, how hard could it be? So what's the reason? One would be like, well, they're not offering enough money. Makes sense, right? Or he's, like, butthurt that, like, you know what? I've done this before, and when you look at what we get under the cap, all my buddies are leaving. So screw you. You know, I'm not going to do it.
Can you blame him?
I could not blame for, you know, the first one, you got to blame. He does have some blame here because he lets it happen. He let it happen for so many years. So now all of a sudden you want to put your foot in the sand. It's kind of like, well, listen, what do you think's been going on? You've been under market at times in your career. You've seen them where they've changed contracts or they let guys go and said they're going to spend it for young talent on defense, they didn't spend it. So you know the deal, but you've still done it, okay? But you're right. At some point, it's okay. He's putting his foot down. And the third one, I said you, which is the best scenario, which I think goes along the years, is just kind of like, you know what? I talk when I'm ready. Screw you, Bill. I'm not rushing for anybody. When I want to talk, I'll call you.
Well,
and it's kind of like a little bit of a power play. Let them know, like, yeah, I'll let you know.
I also wonder if it's maybe being he's doing this as a he's got it as a bargaining chip. In other words, as it pertains to Rob Gronkowski, who's still out in the wind here, it feels like, and he's sending not-so-subtle messages in his Instagram posts and Twitter messages like he did to Danny Amendola yesterday, saying, like, be free and happy, all in capital letters. So maybe Brady can
use guys are just coming out of, like, Foxborough, like, soldier. They're like, going down 95, like, woo!
The chains have been broken.
I'm like, God, I never thought football could be so much fun.
Maybe he can use this as, like, look, okay, Gronk wants his money. I need him. He's my best weapon. He's my security blanket. I'll restructure if you restructure his deal and give him the money that he that
so
he's
if
looking
the, if
for.
You give the ultimatum, which, I mean, oh, Bill would never, I mean, how could Bill ever accept that?
Well, this is
he could never accept it. He could never swallow his pride and accept getting squeezed like that.
Well, so they can't, you know, Bedard said too, like the best case scenario for Bill right now would probably be trading Rob Gronkowski. He said that yesterday. Like, you know, you would think that he doesn't want to deal with any of this, and Gronk is under contract. You want more money? Screw. If it was up to Belichick, yeah.
Oh, he'd say screw. He's probably saying screw
but
now.
But again, they can't. From a football and even, a marketing standpoint, the Crafts don't want to move on from Rob Gronkowski. You know Brady doesn't either. So if they go over his head and rip up his current deal and give him the money that he is looking for that's close to what the best wide receivers are being paid, yeah, they go over Bill's head again with another football decision. And so this is why I think
that's
if this
where it
kind
can get
of,
bad quick.
Mike, if this thing happens, I still think it's within reason that Belichick says before this season, you know what? F this. I thought I was running this football team. I'm done.
Jim,
bye.
That is the best scenario. You want to talk about, well, how could it possibly, these guys win and all this, how could it possibly go to crap? I'm like, that's the perfect scenario. If you start getting, all right, you have the draft, and Tom doesn't want to talk to Bill, and you know, and who knows what Tom would say to Bob Kraft in terms of, like, you know what? I don't know if I'm ready. I want to see what's going on here. And you in subtle ways, or maybe just quite candidly say, you know what? Gronkowski needs to get fixed up here. And then Gronkowski, the back, is he going to play? And finally, Bob's like, listen, Bill, I don't know. He make 8. Let's give him 10, 11. Look at all the money I have, Bill.
Yeah.
I don't need it. Whatever. We're under the cap. Like, it's for 1 year. Like, have you seen that guy over there? And Brady's over there in sweatpants. He goes, that guy's 41. get him here. And if he really squeezes them to get deals done for them, that's the scenario where he's like, you know what? I'm out of here. I don't need to take this. Because that now that would be a pure power play by the owner to Bill. Not like, hey, I'd recommend we do this or some subtle things. Like if you ever got to the point like, you need to figure these two guys out because all these guys are gone. Get them signed. And I don't care what, you know, within what they want, get it done.
There's someone on the hotline with a question for you here, Mike.
All right.
Hey, Zo.
What's going on?
Zo, what's up?
I love all the football talk. It's like, but Big Jim worry, man. I mean, oh, it's doom and gloom. Doom and gloom. Hey, Flynn, everybody's got a price, right?
Yes. I got one. You got one.
Until WrestleMania.
What's that?
Guess how many days until WrestleMania?
Oh, come on. How would I know that? I know it's in March, right? So
how much would it cost to get you on a plane with Sarge, Jay Sue, Joe Murray, son of Bundy, and the Walker to go to New Orleans?
Oh my God! And I love New Orleans. I don't even know if I can. I don't know if there's a number on that.
Everybody's got a number, dude.
Dude, it's got to be. Do I have to? What's my obligation to that crew?
Walk around and get weird with them. That's all.
Well, Zo, we got to let you go because we have Patriots breaking news.
Uh-oh.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, according to Mary Kay Cabot, who was a Browns beat writer, the Jason McCourty being traded to the Patriots along with a Browns 2018 seventh round pick for a Patriots 2018 sixth round pick. So both McCourty twins will be playing for your New England Patriots.
And they were linked to him going back a couple of seasons. Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of this very show, you had this scoop, right?
Hi.
They were linked to him when he was with the Tennessee Titans. You took a lot of heat for this, and you ended up hearing from sources, correct me if I'm wrong.
I had two Patriots sources.
That said, yeah, this almost happened, but something fell short because of the
money.
There
was a medical or a contract issue.
All right, so the McCourty twins reunited in the Patriots secondary. Okay, like, look, I don't know what his numbers were last year with Cleveland.
Told you they were getting Jason McCourty.
Yeah, you were just a couple of years off, that's all. Don't know what the money he's going to be due, but so it's what again?
31 he is, I believe?
They're basically getting McCourty and trading down a sixth-round pick to a seventh-round pick. So, and even the Patriots' sixth-round pick is going to be obviously at the bottom, and the Browns' seventh-round pick near the top, so I don't even know how many spots they're dropping.
All right, well,
three spots.
So he's, let me see.
Just the player alone, if he's healthy, which I think that he was last year with Cleveland.
He's above average corner. I mean, he's not great. He's not.
But to me, for the bit that I watch, and I watch a lot of bad football, believe me, he's a better number two option than Eric Rowe. Like having McCourty on that side from across from Stephon Gilmore, I'd much prefer Jason McCourty than Eric Rowe, or even if that means Rowe.
All right. He has a base salary of 2.3.
Okay.
7.5. And a roster bonus, which I don't know what doesn't really say when he's kicked in, but it's one of these. So, I mean, he signed a 2-year, like $6 million deal with Cleveland.
Either way, thinking about it right now.
So it's definitely short money. I mean,
good gut feeling for me. I feel a little bit better about that secondary right now. If you have Gilmore, you have Jason McCourty on the other side. Rowe is maybe your third, or Jonathan Jones is your third. Like that secondary, I feel a little bit better about right now than I did, just minutes ago. But again, breaking news, as the Patriots have traded for now former Browns cornerback Jason McCourty. The Patriots continue to use the Cleveland Browns as their farm system. So there you go, some Patriots movement today. We'll continue to take your calls on the Patriots offseason. Full phone lines as soon as someone drops off. We'll get to you at 617-779-0985 in our long commercial-free segment next. Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
If you're just joining the show, you haven't heard. Patriots, we have some movement with the offseason. They traded for Jason McCourty. The Cleveland Browns trading Jason McCourty to the Patriots. They're also swapping 6th and 7th round draft picks this year. And immediately, my gut feeling is I like it. Even just in terms of depth for that secondary. Obviously, Malcolm Butler has gone to the Tennessee Titans. He had a healthy year last year with Cleveland. Did Jason McCourty, he's, what did you say, 31 years old, looking up at the...
He's 30 and a half, so I don't know what the season, see when his birth date is. But to your point about it feels right, I didn't watch him much with Cleveland. I know when Tennessee signed that big deal and kind of fell off the cliff, partly was injury-related.
Yeah,
he just wasn't playing well. But so they got released,
Cleveland signs him to a 2-year deal, but I'm kind of going through some of his stuff now, and like he played really well last year.
Well, Anthony Medford has a question about this, because the word was earlier that McCourty was released, and now we hear that the Patriots trade for him. So go ahead, Anthony.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, he, on the NFL Network, I've been watching a lot, and they said he was released.
Yeah, that's
I saw the same thing. Well, maybe Bill saw that, or they said, "Hey, we're going to release him." They jumped in and you know said, "Listen, let's see if we can get him draft pick so he doesn't hit the open market." And because I think his base salary was 2.3, and the way he played last year, now he's not going to get the deal he signed initially, went to Tennessee, but I don't know what's that jump up to. You could be a second quarter in this league, $4 or $5 million a year, a couple year deal, maybe a little bit more up front. So he's like, you know what? Let's see if we can get in for a trade. And I think that's what happened.
Because I was thinking, you know, the Titans cut him, right? And then it didn't seem like the Patriots were that interested last year. I mean, they were going to go for a second tier, like a cornerback. I would like Sean Smith, the former Dolphin, got cut by the Raiders. I would like to see somebody like him. Hopefully it was injuries before, and he's going to play good ball for us, so thanks.
Thanks, Anthony. Well, last year, I mean, there was really no need for him because you had Butler, you had the big money that you gave to Stephon Gilmore. Now, you know, you have a need. You need some depth. In a perfect world, as long as he's healthy, and he played the way that he did last year. I'm looking at some of the stats. Mark Daniels, covers of the Patriots for the Providence Journal, saying 14 deflections, 3 picks last year in Cleveland. And the 14 deflections last season would have actually led the Patriots last year. Butler had 12, Gilmore had 9. So
see, I told you.
Just
I
to let you know what you the draft picks look like. I mean, I don't think anyone really cares about 6th and 7th round draft picks.
No,
but there are a bunch of compensatory picks after the end of the round. So
Let's go dropping with the compensatory pick.
14 picks is what they're dropping.
So it's not that big of a deal. But
It's not 3 picks. It's 14. But again, you're going from number 205 to number 219.
Let's go to, you know, we were talking a lot about the Celtics in that hideous game last night and the loss to the Wizards in double overtime. So Dave in Newberry Port's been hanging a bit. Go ahead, Dave. You're next here on Felgrown Mass.
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to talk about how horrible these instant replay decisions are across all sports. Celtics game last night, 5 seconds left in regulation. The ball goes out of bounds on the baseline. Okay, they go to the instant replay center back in New York or Secaucus, New Jersey, wherever it is. They have two angles on it. The one from the baseline under the hoop, it's inconclusive. You can't see. The instant replay from the side view, from the sideline, Tatum is battling with a Wizards player. The ball clearly, 100% goes off of the Wizards player's hand, hits the corner of the backboard, and goes out of bounds. I mean, it is indisputable Celtics ball, game over. And they give the ball to the Wizards. And if I can see this from my house, watching just in slow motion instant replay, how can they not see it on the replay center with freeze frame?
Do they get what you see on TV? I don't know what view they get, though. The NBC Sports may have different angles for cameras.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what they see. I mean, that could be the reason why. But in a general sense, the replays are just horrific. Football, I've come to accept it.
The end of that
game.
But
for basketball, it's bogging it down. Like, that game should be much faster pace than certainly a football game. But if it isn't that, then they do this thing of watching video of flagrant fouls and technical fouls and all that kind of stuff. But that was like the perfect storm. It ruined the end of that game.
Oh, totally. Because that end of that regulation,
a double overtime game should have like a certain sort of energy to it and flow, but it wasn't. It was choppy, it was chunky, and just damn painful to watch. And then not even that, there was also like, you know, like these conversations between the referees that kind of stopped. Then somebody would call a timeout. You know, they weren't doing this in the context of a timeout. It was just, you know, and certainly the replay has something to do with that. But the out-of-bounds timeouts, that's, what is it, just the last 2 minutes?
I just want that. I want replay gone, Flynn. I know I'm never going to get that wish. We've walked through that door. You know, we're too technologically
advanced. It's hard
advanced
to do it now because of the angles that you have. So people could see a billion different angles and know you're wrong. You know, like these legendary games that you knew your team got screwed, and even to this day you could never get a good picture of it, whether it's like the Immaculate Reception with, you know what I mean, or something like that.
Oh,
but
God,
now
they would look at that for 25 minutes now if given the opportunity.
Oh, there would have never been a catch probably. But that's why you have to do it, because now like they have 1,000 different camera angles. So eventually they're going to find out whether you're right or wrong, and there'll be such a backlash from one side who got screwed that the league doesn't want to deal with it. But it just ruins the game. I mean, basketball. Basketball. Like, refs stay out of it. Like what I said, I like the two referees. Like, limit the calls and get the... I mean... Keep it moving,
oh, God.
People.
It really might be the
now
worst.
Now I'm going to sit and trench through a basketball game with all the like when the refs say, you know what, we're going to
looking at the minutiae of the fouls. Like, it just drives me crazy. And look, Felger has gone off about this time and again, and I agree with him completely. Like, I hate replay, but we're too, you know.
I feel like we've football, made too many I've accepted that to a point.
We've made too many advances. We've made too many advances with the technology, and all of these leagues are too tied to it. We're never going to go back. I just wanted to go back to human error. I can live with that. I can live with a bad call or two. Please, because it's killing the flow of everything. All right, you want to talk about last night's game, that loss for the Celtics against the Wizards? We talked a little bit about the Bruins, who are back in action tonight. They take on the Florida Panthers at 7:30 here on the Sports Hub, and of course, a lot of football with the latest. The Patriots making a trade today. Marshall Hook's going to tell you about that here in the Hub headlines. There's no commercials. We'll come back and get right to your calls on all these things we've talked about here on Felger and Maz with Jim Murray and Mike Flynn in for the guys today here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub.